Blog Talk Radio.
Got a roster dilemma? There's nobody better to ask than FantasyGuru.com. Here are Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan and the Ask Guru podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the first edition of the Ask Guru podcast for FantasyGuru.com. I am Bo Wolf alongside FantasyGuru.com managing editor Joe Dolan. Joe, I'm happy to be here. How are you?
Oh, Bo, it's great to talk to you. Guys, Bo is joining our staff for the 2015 NFL season. He's going to do podcasts, and he's going to contribute with some articles. But, Bo, before we get into the podcast, I think people might be interested to learn about you, learn about your background.
Well, I spent the last 5-6 years working for the Philadelphia Eagles as a content producer. So, internal beat writer, host of shows, purveyor of the Wolf's Den. So I'm very familiar with the Eagles, but obviously a longtime fantasy player. I think it dates back to probably about 4 or 5 years old. My father was one of the initial members of the first Roto Baseball League, so I am sort of born into it, and I play, too many fantasy sports, so this is it's a good place for me.
You played fantasy baseball when you were 5 years old?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was in the draft room with my father.
Wow. Well, this time of year, that I respect that, because this time of year I completely lose interest in my fantasy baseball teams. I think our subscribers. I have a team that's in first place, but my mixed league team has absolutely collapsed, and I don't know how to fix it right now. But I think our subscribers would probably be happy to hear that I have no idea how to fix my baseball team, and frankly, I don't care. All I want to do is win some fantasy football leagues. I'm done drafting. I'm in full regular season mode right now.
I have one more draft tonight. It is a two quarterback league with my friends from high school. So that's the last one I have. I have the third pick.
Well,
I'm hoping that 12 teams. The third pick. I'm hoping that either Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers falls to number three for me.
Because that is, honestly, my opinion, in a 12-team, two-quarterback league, that is the worst pick to have. Because if Luck and Rodgers go, what do you do?
Exactly. It is not PPR, so I would maybe, I guess I'm leaning Peterson or Le'Veon Bell. I would have to decide, but I'm really hoping that one of the quarterbacks falls. But I don't think the listeners here are too worried about my draft. They're worried about their own teams. That's why they're here for the Ask Guru podcast. And, of course, make sure that you use the hashtag Ask Guru so that we can get to your questions here. But let's start with some news from around the league, Joe. And I guess the big news in the league, the Eagles signing extensions for both offensive linemen, Dennis Kelly and Andrew Gardner. What do you think?
Oh, it's absolutely huge news. Get them locked up. I'm sure everybody's running to their update their projections, moving all Eagles up this week. That is clearly the big news of the week, Bo.
Yeah, you boost up all running backs. You boost up Sam Bradford. I'm sorry. I'm so used to looking at it through the Eagles prism. That's where I had to start. But let's get to some real actual fantasy news. And how about we'll start in the division with the Cowboys and the report that they haven't really even decided who is going to be their starting running back on Sunday when they play the New York Giants. Is it going to be Christine Michael? Is it going to be Darren McFadden? Or is it going to be Joseph Randall, who tries to take advantage of the meat there on the bone? What do you make of that? Who do you want this week, and who do you want for the rest of the season?
Bo, my assumption is that Joseph Randall is still going to be the guy, but I was never comfortable, Bo, with this backfield, with the vibes I was getting on Joseph Randall. It just never felt like they were sold on Randall. And you can argue through a very few number of carries that Darren McFadden outplayed him this preseason. That scares me because I want nothing to do with Darren McFadden. I've seen that song and dance. I've been on that train. I really don't want to be on it again. The fact that they went and traded for Christian Michael, and I've seen this, Bo. People are like, oh, they only traded a conditional 7th-round pick for him. I think that's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is they were looking for a running back and they got a young and talented one. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that they went out and got somebody else. They still have Lance Dunbar, by the way, who, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, is going to be the third down guy. That his role's not going to change. I would still think, if you were to ask me straight up who's the best back to own in this backfield, it's Randall. But being cost-dependent, I think Michael's my favorite one to have. And I think he's a guy that you plug in your last bench spot or two, personally.
And that's the thing about, but go ahead.
And look, if you've got a spot where you can have some upside, or you've got a guy who it was just your last pick, a backup tight end, a weak backup quarterback, if you could drop him for Christian Michael, I'd do it in a second. I'm not running out there and saying I'm dropping everybody I can to go get him. That's not what I'm doing. But I think he's the most appealing guy, even though, Bo, he might even be inactive for the first game or two, for all we know.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect that it will be hard for him to win this starting job in a week of practice in a brand new offense. But the intrigue with Michael is that he is the guy who has that talent. We've heard so much about it from his couple years in Seattle, frustrating as that was behind Marshawn Lynch. But we know that Joseph Randle is not going to be a superstar, right? So Michael is the one guy who maybe has that kind of potential. So that's why you want to stash him for upside on your bench, probably.
And look, yeah, did it work out in Seattle? No, but he was behind the ageless Marshawn Lynch. He had some work ethic issues, but Bo, Christian Michael, a talented player, going and later having success in a new spot would not be the strangest thing to happen in NFL history. And that's why the guy that I'm stashing here.
The devil's advocate argument that would make me not too worried about Michael is that the Seahawks have been very good at evaluating their own talent and ditching ship maybe a little bit before the rest of the league has. You look at the Percy Harvin trade last year. They spent a second-round pick on Christian Michael. If they are willing to throw away that investment, it doesn't make you feel too good about it.
No. It's – look, Randall's still the best guy to have here. I'm just not expecting RB2 numbers. And I think people assume that automatically because he's running behind this line, that's what he was going to put up. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. He's still the best to own here, but I'm tempering expectations. I probably wouldn't want him much more than a flex for a week one.
Quickly, you mentioned Dunbar. Do you think there's any value there in a deep league PPR because of his third down back capabilities?
What's funny is we heard the same thing last year, that they love him as a third down back. And actually, he was one of my favorite late round kind of bench stashes last year because we're like, oh, there's no way DeMarco Murray can do it all himself. Well, as we know, DeMarco Murray did it all himself. But I wouldn't be surprised, Bo, to see Dunbar catch in the 40-45 pass range, which could give him some outside flex value, especially on tough like bye weeks or something.
All right, let's stick in the NFC East, Joe, and talk about the Washington team. And a lot of buzz for a player who we both like, and I think we both own on many teams, and that is the rookie running back Matt Jones out of Florida. Seems like there are reports, at least, that they like him a lot more than they liked Roy Helu, and that he will be involved in the offense very heavily behind Alfred Morris.
Yeah, this is from John Keim, a plugged-in reporter for ESPN. And look, I think the writing was on the wall for Alfred Morris. He's been a guy who's been much better in zone schemes, and he's done very well, no doubt about that. But the last 2 years on a bad football team, Alfred Morris has been absolutely awful to have in fantasy because he doesn't catch the ball. He doesn't play when they're coming from behind because they don't trust him on third downs. So I really tried to avoid Alfred Morris. And the thing I like about Matt Jones is we know Jay Gruden prefers a kind of power counter trap type of scheme. Matt Jones, that was all he did at Florida, and he did it really well. He is a downhill runner who follows his blockers. He hits the hole with velocity. He can catch the ball a little bit. He's not going to be Roy Helu out there. Roy Helu averaged 11 yards a catch last year. But Matt Jones isn't going to do that, but I don't think he has to. I can see Matt Jones playing early and often. I have been telling people if this guy is out there on your waiver wire and you have a low upside bench spot, drop somebody and pick him up. I want him on every team I can possibly get. And the beauty is, Bo, if he's not working out by week 5 or 6, well, then you can drop him. You can drop him earlier than that. But he's a bench guy. I'm not telling you to start him in week one. But if there's a chance that he explodes early in the season, and he played great in the preseason, all these reports are coming out that they absolutely love him. They took him in the third round when, frankly, he was a guy a lot of people were not even talking about. It just lines up that they really love this guy, and I'm excited to watch him play. I think he can be a big-time fantasy contributor this year.
I totally agree. Let's move on now to Buffalo, where there's some injury issues. Obviously, Fred Jackson is gone. LeSean McCoy, Rex Ryan saying that Shady will practice today. and that will be he'll be ready to roll for the opener against the Colts on Sunday. But also reports from Alex Marvez that Bryce Brown is going to be potentially heavily involved in the offense in week one. What do you make of that, former Eagles teammates? I think we probably agree that stay away from Bryce Brown and maybe see what happens with Shady.
Yeah, we actually were getting some questions with the hashtag asking what's the deal with the Bills backfield. Frankly, McCoy's a guy I was avoiding this year. I didn't like the way he played last year, and he was my consensus number one overall pick last year. He burned me. I had him in a couple leagues. I don't think he's a great fit on this Bills team, even though he's going to get the volume, which is appealing. And now they have a messy backfield. They cut Fred Jackson, but Bryce Brown, Bo, this is a guy who's gotten a bunch of shots, and he really hasn't taken advantage of them. One thing he certainly has is natural ability. And I would think with the way Rex Ryan wants to run the football, downhill, power stuff, Bryce Brown, in theory, is a fantastic fit. So I think they're going to try to get a last look at Bryce Brown maybe before they go to Carlos Williams. I'm pretty sure that they know what they have in Booby Dixon. They have a guy who can handle 10 to 15 carries if you absolutely need him to. He's good on special teams, but he's not going to provide you any upside. I don't blame the Bills for getting a look at Bryce Brown if that's the case, if that's what happens in week one, maybe week two. But I think Bryce Brown is on his last piece of patience here. And if he doesn't impress, they're going to go to Carlos Williams eventually. But for right now, it looks like Brown is the handcuff. Frankly, McCoy's a guy, if I have him, I'm just rolling the dice and I'm probably not even handcuffing him, because I don't know who the guy is.
I think that's fair, and obviously neither of those guys has huge upside. It is a good matchup for Shady this week against the Colts run defense that we saw get just annihilated in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a fantastic matchup. They're at home. They're really tough at home. Actually, I've had discussions about Andrew Luck already, which we can get to later on. I think they're going to try to run the ball. I would start McCoy this week if I had him, if he's going to play, which it looks like he's going to do. Rex Ryan, as a matter of fact, just said that McCoy is going to practice in full today, so it looks like he's going to be good to go. But I'm interested to see what they do behind LeSean McCoy. Obviously, none of these guys are worth a start, but it's going to help people maybe if they want to handcuff McCoy, if they're a little bit worried about the hamstring, if they're a little bit worried about how he played last year, maybe figure out what they're going to do in the future.
All right, more injury news for running backs. Let's go down to New Orleans, where NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that C.J. Spiller will not be playing in week one. Obviously, that is good news for Mark Ingram owners.
Oh, absolutely. And Kyrie Robinson's been a guy I think people were adding to the back end of their bench. And not to say, Bo, that Kyrie Robinson can do everything that C.J. Spiller can do, but I think he can catch the ball a little bit. I think he's one of those backs who we just haven't seen enough of, but I think he's pretty talented. Though this, in my opinion, bumps Mark Ingram into the top 10 at running back this week. You would think if all things work out well, he's going to touch the ball 20 times in this game.
What is Tim Hightower still doing in the league, Joe?
Well, he was out of the league for like 3 years and he made the Saints team. So good for Tim Hightower.
That's crazy.
As somebody who absolutely hates the New Orleans Saints for fantasy purposes, I could see Tim Hightower catching three passes this week. Throwing the entire thing into chaos. I hate the Saints for fantasy. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, Tim Hightower has been a guy who, like, maybe he had a brief cup of coffee with fantasy relevance here, but most of the time he's just been a knot in your hair. And he's back to do it again, and with the perfect team to do it with.
That's exactly right. All right, how about St. Louis, where reports are that Todd Gurley is going to miss probably about the first 3 weeks of the season. Trey Mason's status still up in the air a little bit for this week. What do you make of that backfield situation?
Well, it looks like it might be Benny Cunningham this week against the Seahawks. He might be kind of an appealing contrarian play in large field GPPs on daily sites, simply because he's going to be cheap. And if Trey Mason doesn't play, people still might avoid him because of the matchup with the Seahawks. But he can catch the ball. So I think if he catches four or five passes, he can hold down some daily value, at least. I wouldn't recommend playing him in a redraft lineup. But, I mean, Bo, were you expecting anything different with Todd Gurley?
No,
this is actually
not.
This is earlier than a lot of people expected. You know, we had started hearing rumblings that, hey, they think he looks pretty good. They think he's going to be good to go relatively early in the season. It's probably a little bit different than stashing Arian Foster because, you know, well, Arian Foster has a track record and Arian Foster doesn't have a Trey Mason behind him. But it looks like it might actually end up being quite similar in that Gurley and Foster might get on the field at the same time. If you drafted Gurley, you were not expecting him to play in week one at this stage. At least once he came up, when there was a little bit of excitement when he first came off like the PUP list. And people were like, whoa, he came off of this early. Is he going to play in week one? And I thought if he was practicing and he was playing in the preseason, that he could have been a second round pick. Obviously, that didn't happen. And his value kind of stayed around that fourth, fifth round. If you were drafting Gurley there, I think you knew you needed to draft another back either before him or after him that you would feel good about plugging in for a couple weeks. But I think once Gurley gets back, frankly, I think he's going to be the guy. You don't spend a top 10 pick on a guy and use him eight carries a game. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but the other, you know, the flip side is that you don't spend a top 10 pick on a guy coming off an injury and run him into the ground right away, right? So
That's fair.
That they have Trey Mason means, to me at least, that they're going to bring him along a little bit slowly at first just to sort of get his feet wet in the NFL. I do think by the end of the season he turns out to be that guy, but it's not like Arian Foster where this is a veteran who they're not really, you know, the Texans aren't expecting too much more from Arian Foster a couple years down the road. They're gonna handle Gurley with not kid gloves, but with caution.
And obviously Foster doesn't need to practice. I mean, he's been a star back for 6 years. He doesn't need to practice. Now, if there's one position in the NFL, Bo, that I were to say you can trade for a guy or you can pick him up off the waiver wire and you can just basically plug and play him, it would be the running back position because ultimately the idea is to go forward and find the hole, no matter where you're playing. But I think it's probably good news for Rams fans. Maybe not for fantasy, but good news for Rams fans that the Trey Mason injury clearly did not change the Rams' plans with Todd Gurley, as it shouldn't. And I think that's good news that they are still planning to execute the way they initially were when they drafted Gurley and when they took him off the PUP this summer.
I think that's exactly right. All right, how about in Chicago where it looks like wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey is on track to start the opener against the Packers?
This is good news. I've gotten a ton of questions on Alshon Jeffrey, and frankly, people are asking me, should I start Alshon Jeffrey? And I have to tell people on a Monday and Tuesday, I have no clue. We don't know anything about him. Teams don't have to get out their injury reports until today if they're playing on Sunday or tomorrow if they're playing on Monday. And it looks good. Ian Rappaport's very good. He reported clearly that Jeffrey looks to be on track. One thing I will point out to people, Jeffrey was one of the most consistent receivers in fantasy football last year, and he played hurt for much of the season. So this is a guy who can play hurt. Obviously, you'd prefer the guy wasn't banged up at all, and calf injuries have been known to linger. They can be very nasty. But I would feel comfortable rolling Alshon Jeffrey out in week one if he's active because he had the hamstring all last year. He played through it and produced through it, and he's very clearly the Bears' number one receiver and their top red zone threat. I still think Alshon Jeffrey's somebody, if he's active, you're going to feel comfortable rolling out there in week one.
All right, Joe, I think that'll do it for the news portion of the Ask Guru podcast. And now it's time to get to the questions from the fans. Remember, use the hashtag Ask Guru to get your question answered. And we'll start with
thousands, thousands of them today.
Thousands, the millions and millions of Fantasy Guru subscribers. All right.
Yeah.
First question from Eddie Ortiz, who wants to know, who should he drop for Christian Michael, Damian Williams or Duke Johnson? This seems like an easy answer.
If you want Christian Michael, you drop Damian Williams. I'm not sure I'd drop either one of them, though, Bo. I like
Damian Williams. You would consider keeping – I know you are a Damian Williams fan. You would consider him –
Yeah, he's a measurables guy. He looked good on tape, too. Great receiver. You know, but here's the funny thing. You can argue that Christian Michael has a better shot to start because – it looked to me this offseason like the Dolphins were trying to almost force Lamar Miller into at least a part-time kind of role, and he just shut that door at every junction. Like, he's like, nope, not going to happen. Jay Ajayi is going to get hurt, and I'm going to look good in the preseason. And I ran for 1,000 yards last year. So I still think Damian Williams is probably more of a change of pace guy. But honestly, I think he's the safer guy to have on your bench. If you want the upside, though, you can go drop him for Christian Michael.
All right, next question is from The Real C. Nolan, at The Real C. Nolan. He wants to know a couple quarterback questions. Should he play Sam Bradford over Ryan Tannehill? And then he wants to know if he should also play Bradford over Brady. You know, we've got Tannehill at number 7 and Bradford at number 8 on this week's quarterback projection. So this is a toss-up.
I would probably play both Tannehill and Brady. Let me tell you something, Bo. I am not going to count out touchdown Tom this week when he is going to be running out of that tunnel at Gillette Stadium with both of his middle fingers raised.
Yeah, I think Brady is a non-starter here.
Yeah, I mean, the way, Pittsburgh's secondary is terrible. By the way, Bo, did you see Brandon Boykin's not even the nickel there?
Brandon Boykin, not even a nickel. Bizarre. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Pittsburgh's got a new defense. I think it can work out for them. They're one-gapping a little bit more this year under Mike Tomlin. And I think Tomlin's really going to want to try to create some interior pressure. That's where Brady can be had when you can actually get to Tom Brady. And the Patriots center, Brian Stork, has been dealing with a concussion, which obviously is terrible news for Brady, for Brian Stork as well. But and I'm still rolling with him. And here's the thing about Brady, Bo. Are we even concerned that he doesn't really have receivers? He's got Gronk. Edelman's banged up, but do we even care?
No.
Aren't we just accepting that it's a fait accompli that Brady's going to have a huge game tomorrow night?
Absolutely. And it's like the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. It's not the receivers aren't making him. He's making the receivers. You know, is it going to be Scott Chandler catching 2 touchdown passes in the red zone, something like that? No. I think we're not worried about Tom Brady.
We have a three-year run of a complete scrub scoring the first touchdown of the season. I'm wondering who it is tomorrow night. It's got to be
Deion Lewis.
Well, actually, to be frank with you, I'm thinking about Deion Lewis across the board. I picked him up in a couple leagues.
Yeah, I think I picked him up in our expert league.
Dynasty league. Yes, you have him in the Dynasty League. I actually looked to select him up. That wouldn't be too bad because I think he's going to be a popular daily play. But, I mean, Scott Chandler is the name that pops out to me as the guy who nobody's going to have in fantasy who could score the first touchdown of the season.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think 2 years – let me. Last year, John Kuhn and Ricardo Lockett scored the first 2 touchdowns. The year before, it was Vontae Leach, and the year before that, it was Kevin Ogletree. So we've got a run of terrible touchdowns to kick off the season. Let's see if that can continue this year. Hopefully, at least Brady will be throwing it. If the Patriots even score first, who knows?
Who could it be on Pittsburgh then?
Well, I would think D'Angelo Williams is a guy who people are going to have in the lineup. Oh, I've got the name for Pittsburgh. Darius Hayward Bay.
That is a good one.
Perfect FU fantasy touchdown for tomorrow night. That would be perfect.
What about Matt Spaeth?
Oh, is he still around?
I think he's their backup tight end.
He scored a touchdown in like 7 straight seasons, by the way.
Well, that's what an accomplishment for Matt Spaeth. How about Tannehill versus Bradford? Because I would strongly consider starting Bradford over Tannehill. Tannehill does have a tasty matchup, obviously, against this Washington defense, but they are right next to each other in the projections.
We have them back to back. I'd probably lean to Tannehill. I would argue that Sam Bradford, though, Bo, has more upside than Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill, which is funny because Tannehill's a guy we've been pushing as an upside guy. And obviously, he's got a great matchup. I think I might roll with Bradford there.
I think I go Bradford. I think you're right. I think the upside is higher for Bradford. Maybe we are. I mean, how can you not after that third preseason game?
It's tempting. I might go Bradford there, but not over Brady. Not over Brady.
Okay.
Not happening.
Oh, certainly not. All right. Next question from at Boris Chernin, who has a tight end question. Who does he want to start at tight end? Tyler Eifert against the Saints or Kyle Rudolph against the Niners?
I'd probably roll with Eifert only because I'm a little more confident in his role, and I think the Saint defense is a disaster. That would be I like Kyle Rudolph this year, Bo. As a matter of fact, I've drafted him twice in the last 2 days, but I think Tyler Eifert could be the number 2 receiver. By the way, Tyler Eifert's playing Oakland. They're at Oakland.
Yes, that question was submitted incorrectly. but it is at Oakland. So that is an even better matchup for him. And again, these are two guys who are right next to each other in our projections.
Eifert was my favorite upside tight end. I was on that train in like June. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then people started, I'm not saying I, you know, was the trendsetter here, but people started like realizing, wait a minute, the tight end position is garbage for fantasy. We've got to look for guys who potentially could have not just talent, but huge roles in their offense. And then I think people just kind of gravitated to Eifert. Bo, he played 8 snaps last year before he hurt his elbow. On those 8 snaps, he had 3 catches for 37 yards. He was a big part of their offense. I would assume it was a huge plan of theirs to get Eifert very much involved last year. And it just didn't work out that way. But the elbow injury seems to be completely healed. I'm really big on Eifert this year, and I would start him in week one.
The history of tight ends is such that you often get a huge jump from year one to year two. Rookie tight ends do not often make a huge fantasy impact. It is that second, third season where they become ingratiated in the offense. So Eifert, I think, is a good upside bet.
And yeah, and it's essentially his second season. I mean, he barely played last year, and
right. He's
got full off season to get himself healthy. Yeah, as you said, get ingratiated into the offense. And I think Andy Dalton's the type of quarterback who really needs a nice tight end to really help him out in the short to intermediate area. And I think Eifert's that guy.
Yeah, Andy's not going to be firing it in anywhere. He needs to throw it up so somebody else can go get it. All right, how about a question for a flex from @SimonThatMe, who wants to know, who should he start of these three options, standard 12-team flex, Golden Tate, John Brown, or Alfred Blue?
Definitely not Alfred Blue. So here's what's interesting. Golden Tate, Bo, preseason was – he kind of fluctuated between our 12th and 15th receiver, just, you know, depending on which way the wind was blowing on a particular day. John Brown's got an awesome matchup against the Saints defense, and – they're without Keenan Lewis. John Brown is one of my favorite flex plays of the entire week. However, Golden Tate coming off a really nice preseason with Matthew Stafford, who by all reports had a good camp. He looked good in the preseason. I would have a hard time sitting Golden Tate here, but John Brown's an excellent flex play. And if you're having this problem in week one, it's a good problem to have.
@JohnTorrance has a very similar question. PPR, Golden Tate, John Brown, Devin Funchess, and Charles Johnson also thrown into the mix. Basically, it's the same. It's the same decision between Tate and Brown, right?
You have a very good problem here, sir, because I love Charles Johnson this year, but I'm gonna roll with Golden Tate in week one. They're close enough together, and I have more faith in Golden Tate's role. But would not be surprised if by like 3 or 4 weeks into the season, John Brown and or Charles Johnson overtakes Golden Tate in this guy's personal depth chart.
All right, next question comes from @GWood579. He wants two of the following for his flex full point PPR. All right, we've got Larry Fitzgerald, Reuben Randall, D'Angelo Williams, and Terrence Williams.
Oh, we got a guy ordering from the dollar menu already.
That's right. Well, I think D'Angelo is probably in your mix here, right?
Yes.
As one of the two.
Okay, so we got Larry Fitzgerald, D'Angelo, Terrence Williams, and
Reuben Randall.
Definitely not Reuben Randall. Look, he's a fine guy to have on your bench, but I'm not starting him in week one. I'm probably going to go with Larry Fitz, Bo, against that Saint defense that I just mentioned doesn't have its top corner. So when you don't really know anything about these teams, and let's be frank, at this stage, you don't know how these teams are going to play. You don't know how these players are going to look. All we can do is take our best guesses. In week one, if you have a tough call like this, you've got to use the information at hand. You've got to use all the facts, the few facts that you might be able to kind of gather up. And the fact that Larry Fitzgerald is going against the Saint defense that doesn't have its top corner, that kind of makes this decision for me. But I would start him and D'Angelo Williams.
All right, next question comes to us from @MichaelCole or Michael Sox, whatever it is. He's got to pick a last name. He has to decide on one. He wants to know, no PPR, Tanny or Bradford. We already answered that. And then second wide receiver, Jarvis Landry or Golden Tate?
Landry against Washington, Tate against San Diego. I'm going to go Jarvis Landry this week.
I like it. You're pounding the Washington defense, and I respect that.
Yeah, I am. That might actually – a Tannehill-Landry stack might be a nice little cash game play on daily sites, by the way, because it's a good matchup for Tannehill, and it's clear that Landry's his favorite receiver. So, yeah, I'm going to take Jarvis Landry over Golden Tate. Once again, here's a guy with a very, very nice problem to have.
So here's a question for you.
I wish I had teams like this. I've got teams that are like, this is an easy decision for me.
If only we could all be in 18 leagues, right?
Oh, right, right.
So this is an interesting question, though, strategy-wise, because he asks in the same for the same team, he wants Tannehill or Bradford, which we already discussed, and Tate or Landry, but he's got Tannehill and Landry. So would you rather hedge your bets and take Bradford and Landry or Tannehill and Tate? Or would you rather stack it, like you said earlier, not in a DFS, but on your actual fantasy team?
In DFS, I like to stack. I can understand kind of hedging, though. As I said before, I would lean to Bradford over Tannehill simply because I think Bradford's got a juicy matchup himself. I think Chip Kelly's going to come out with his foot on the gas pedal. I frankly trust Chip Kelly more than I trust Joe Philbin, even though Bill Lazor's there, and Bill Lazor's done a very nice job implementing kind of the same spread attack. I would probably play Bradford and Landry, but Tannehill and Landry I think is an appealing daily stack.
Right. Okay, next question from at Cheetah MJP. We already talked a little bit about Kristen Michael. He wants to know whether Kristen Michael or David Johnson is a better high upside stash and hope at the end of his bench, PPR.
This is the most popular Kristen Michael question I have gotten. Drop David Johnson for Kristen Michael. I can't tell you how many times I've answered this question. I would lean to David Johnson. If this is as my fourth running back, I probably want David Johnson. I have more faith that he's going to get on the field sooner in the season. But if this is like my fifth or sixth back, I have a deep bench, and I really like the guys I have in front of David Johnson, I'm okay with taking the shot on Michael, just with the expectation that Michael has a shot to become the starter behind the Dallas line. Even if David Johnson becomes the quote-unquote starter, Bo, I mean, wouldn't you feel like with Andre Ellington and Chris Johnson also there, that there, it's still going to be kind of an annoying committee?
I think that's exactly right. I think David Johnson is the probably higher floor, lower ceiling, right? And Kristen Michael is the opposite.
Yeah, and I think David Johnson's the type of fantasy back who isn't going to look to be an appealing start the first couple of weeks when you figure out what his role is, but he might be one of those high-efficiency fantasy players who he could catch four or five passes, maybe score you a touchdown, and he doesn't really have to touch the ball all that much. And from somebody who was very intrigued by David Johnson and coming out of college, he went to Northern Iowa. I watched a few games of his prior to the draft. And frankly, Bo, he looked exactly the same on the NFL field as he did in college. He was a receiving back who doesn't really play to his size as an interior runner, but uses it well when he's spread out to the perimeter in the slot against linebackers, against safeties. He's a really, really tough cover. I'm not sure this is a guy who down the road is going to be a 200 to 250 touch guy, but I feel like he could catch 50 or 60 passes and be a matchup nightmare. I think he's got definitely the higher floor of the two, probably the lower ceiling. If he's your fourth, I'd probably lean to keeping David Johnson, but if it's your fifth or sixth, then I might make the move to Michael.
Makes sense. You saw him at the Senior Bowl, and that is where he stood out, is sort of the matchups against linebackers in space, linebackers and safeties. He is a pass game guy through and through, I think. All right.
Absolutely. They want to throw it.
Yes, exactly. All right. From at Jeffrey Bileski, PPR flex, pick one of the following three: Chris Ivory, Charles Johnson, or Roddy White.
Roddy White's coming off the injury. A lot of buzz about Leonard Hankerson, believe it or not. Hank Leonardson. If you've got a bench spot floating around and you need a receiver, he might be somebody worth taking a shot on. Chris Ivory against that tough Cleveland defense, or do you go with Charles Johnson, Bo, on the road at San Francisco. I'm going to go with Charles Johnson.
In a PPR, I think I lean Charles Johnson. If it wasn't PPR, I'd lean Ivory. I think that's how.
And I like Ivory a lot this year. Actually, only got him in one league though. I feel like Ivory, and he started to get buzzed late. If you follow Fantasy Guys on Twitter, just like, and you read into the reports, Chris Ivory was starting to get a bunch of buzz kind of late in training camp. Hey, Stephen Ridley's still on the pup. Zach Stacy's a guy. Bilal Powell is a guy who can catch the ball. So there,
whose name is hard to say.
There's been talk of Chris Ivory being a true three down back. I only got him on one team, which I'm kind of regretting. But I think I'm drinking the Charles Johnson Kool-Aid. I'm in. And I'm in on Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I think we all are in on Teddy football.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all right.
I can't believe he fell to the last pick of the first round, but, you know, I digress.
And that Cleveland took Johnny football over him. But, hey, I will digress as well. All right. Second to last question from Sergio Nolasco. He wants to know who he should pick up as his Latavius Murray handcuff. He has Roy Helu, but should he drop Helu for Tywan Jones?
Absolutely not.
Yes.
That's an easy one. Tywan Jones is a running back turned corner turned running back. And great story. He beat out Trent Richardson, but I'm not convinced you couldn't either, Bo.
I think that's pretty fair.
So, it's Roy Helu. That's the guy you want.
All right, Joe. Our last question comes from me. I'm gonna lean on your advice.
Whoa!
Okay. You ready?
Right. Oh man, you're throwing curveballs in the first podcast.
Yes. I think maybe every week I'll close with a question for you of my own, just for my own edifices. Okay. I need to drop somebody to pick up a kicker because I haven't picked up a kicker yet on this team. Should I be dropping Josh Robinson or Shane Vereen?
Do you have Frank Gore?
I do not have Frank Gore.
Drop Josh Robinson, as much as it pains me to do so because I love him. But, yeah, I would drop Josh Robinson.
This is half-point PPR, by the way. But
you have a much better shot of sneaking Josh Robinson through waivers than you do of sneaking Shane Vereen through. And Vereen's a guy I'm scared because I have a lot of Vereen because he was just one of those guys who very often fell to me at an appealing spot where I'm like, Vereen, maybe, you know, he could be a number three in a PPR. And I'm just scared that he's going to do the same crap to me in New York that he did in New England, but I would drop Josh Robinson. By the way, you must have a really deep team.
I have to say I killed the auction on this one.
Oh, fantastic. I play fantasy football against too many people who are good at fantasy football.
Well, this is my thing, Joe, and because everybody is sort of dealing with the same information, for most of my leagues, I like to make sure that there is something different to mess with the calculations a little bit, to mess with the formula so that everybody can't just go down the same rankings. One league where the flex, 6 weeks you can play any flex, but 6 weeks you have to play either a tight end or a defense as the flex. So there's some strategy there.
That's interesting.
Two quarterback
leagues. I've never
heard about that before. That's actually my brother's brainchild, so he gets the credit for that one. But I like to have a little bit something different just so everybody is not pulling from the same information.
That's fun. That's fun, Bo. I like that. Yeah, I was actually going through a bunch of rankings on, and I mean, this is old news now at this point, on a lot of the free sites, and man, I just noticed ESPN's rankings are so exploitable. If you've got guys you love, like every ESPN league I'm in, I got Travis Kelce because he was so low on their pre-draft rankings. And ultimately, even if you're in a league with guys who are really good and into it, there's still going to be a couple guys who kind of fly by the seat of their pants on draft day and are just like, I'm just going to take the highest ranked guy. You can really exploit the rankings doing that.
I think that's right. And before you, I mean, this is draft advice, you know, 2 days before the season starts, 1 day before the season starts. But before you go into any of those drafts on Yahoo or ESPN, you have to take a look at the rankings and find the guys who you value higher than those rankings, right? I mean, that's what it's
about. Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
All right, I'm gonna give you and the listeners one more side game that you can use for your fantasy league if you want to implement it week one. It's sort of like a Royal Rumble, Joe. So everybody, in addition to the week-to-week matchups, every week, the lowest scoring team is eliminated from the side tournament. So it goes on for 10 or 12 weeks until there's one man standing.
I have about that. That sounds like I've never done it before. So essentially, what you're saying is everybody puts in 10 extra bucks at the start of the year.
Exactly.
And on the side, this doesn't affect the main league, but if you're the lowest scoring team of that week, you get eliminated from that. And then is it winner take all?
Yes, and then it's winner take all. I mean, you could set up the the payouts however you want, but that's the idea. That's just to fun. Have a little something on the side, and then by the time that's over, it's time for the playoffs anyway. So you're ready to go.
That is a lot of fun. I need to do that more. One thing we're doing this year is we're doing kind of with a group of friends is setting a kind of a daily tournament, a season long daily tournament where.
Oh, I like that.
You just have like 10 or 12 guys. You each buy in every week. And this way you don't have to have a draft. You don't have to get screwed in your big money league if your first and second round picks go down with injuries. You just set a different lineup every week. And then you pay out every week. You can also pay out season long for like the highest scoring team overall. I think that's the way in the future a lot of people are going to be playing. They're going to be mixing daily and season long.
I like that. Makes sense. All right, Joe. Well, I think that'll do it for our first run through with the Ask Guru podcast.
Hey, pretty good, Bo. Hey, Bo. Tell people where they can follow you on Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter at Bo_Wolf. Wolf is WULF. And of course, you can follow Joe at FG_Dolan.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had a good time. We will we'll work the kinks out, but I don't think we had too many of them, frankly.
I think we were all right. And of course, remember to give us your questions with hashtag AskGuru. Hopefully your week ones will be plentiful and successful, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you, Bo.